For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the station that made country music famous, 650 AM WSM, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hi, it's Charlie Matos. In this episode, we sit down with one of the true legends of professional wrestling over the last few decades, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Jimmy joined us in studio on October the 10th, 2019. He was in town to promote an event that night with Jerry the King Lawler in Nashville. We'd talk about his long career in wrestling. We'd also talk about his early career in the music business, lead vocalist of the Gentrys. You'll probably remember this song from 1965. Enjoy our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
I keep on dancing.
Keep on dancing.
Keep on doing.
Keep on dancing.
Shaking, shaking, baby.
Keep on dancing.
Come on, show me how you work.
Keep on dancing.
Whether you realized it or not, you were meeting Jimmy Hart for the first time back in the mid-60s as the vocalist on the Gentrys hit Keep On Dancing, 650 AM WSM. Who knew this high schooler and his band would go on to become the Mouth of the South, handsome Jimmy Hart. Welcome to Coffee, Country, and Cody and WSM in Nashville.
Well, good morning. My favorite tag team in the morning, man. I'm going to sign you guys up.
So you're born in Jackson, Mississippi. How do you wind up being synonymous with Memphis, Tennessee?
I guess I was like raised by a single parent, you know.
Okay.
And we moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and everything turned around for me. Went to high school there, went to Treadwell High School, of course, met Jerry the King Lawler.
I was going
to
say, that's where you meet Lawler, and he talked you into getting into wrestling.
Well, he went into wrestling, I went into music. You know, we had a million seller, Keep On Dancing, back in the day, produced by Chips Moman on the MGM Records, of course. And all of a sudden, the next thing I know, I'm managing Jerry the King Lawler on Channel 5 TV in Memphis, and of course, our territory back then, Memphis on Monday night, the Coliseum, Louisville Gardens on Tuesday night, Evansville, Indiana. And, of course, every Saturday night at the old auditorium, which was over here at the fairgrounds, you know. And then Monday, you know, TV every Saturday morning. And everything's been crazy since then. Got a phone call from Vince McMahon back when I was with him for 6 years in Memphis. And all of a sudden, feet don't fail me now. I went to New York City, appeared on the first WrestleMania, of course. Had King Kong Bundy and Greg the Hammer Valentine. And later on, started managing Hulk Hogan, the Hart Foundation, the Nasty Boys, Honky Tonk Man. And tonight, Lawler and I are back together again.
Yes, you are. So tell us more about the event tonight. Is at Little Harpeth Brewing, so people know it. 7
well, it's going
right?
to be great. You know, it's sponsored by USA Championship Wrestling along with Rocky McElhaney Law Firm, of course. I think Rocky's going to be there tonight.
But, right.
So that's going to be against Lucky P. But it's just going to be a great night. Tickets are going to be $10. It's something special that the Little Harpeth Brewing Company wanted to put together. Free parking, by the way. Nobody ever says free parking when it's free parking, but that's a lot. It has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? But it's fan-friendly. Everybody can come out. If you want to watch football, we got our TVs on football tonight. If you want to watch baseball, that's on. The wrestling ring's being set up as we speak. What a great facility, a great location. It's going to be a great night. It's 5 big matches. The Star Twins are going to be there. Bert Prentice is going to be there singing the national anthem. It's going to be a great night.
Nashville's a great wrestling town, isn't it? Historically.
You know, it's so awesome, man. Can you believe it? Jackie Fargo from here. The Jarretts from here. Jerry and Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Tojo Yamamoto, one of my favorites. You know, it's been always a great wrestling city.
What did you say Tojo told you about facial expressions?
One day I was coming back from Memphis with Tojo, and I just got in the wrestling business, and he said, Jimmy-san. I said, what, Tojo? He said, listen. He said, in the same way, too, what, Tojo? And on the way back, he said, always remember, use facial expressions. If you get hit, it's going to hurt, but use facial expressions. So I've never forgot that, really.
Yeah, and it is important when you think about it, now with HD especially, how simplistic that was, but how important it is.
You know, interviews, a good look in and out of the ring, but interviews is so important. You know, all the kids now, all the wrestling, it's very good. All of them are great. You'll see some great young kids with us tonight for USA Championship Wrestling. They're awesome. But facial expressions are so important. The way you come into the building, the way you leave the building is very important.
Well, you said that about Nature Boy Ric Flair, that Rick dressed with the suit, to make you think he was making $1 million, whether he was or not. He just had that look, right?
He had that look. You know, he had the limousines and, you know, styling and profile. But whatever you talk about, it's the way you should be, you know. Mm. And that's been so great. But I've been so blessed being with Jerry the King Lawler, Hulk Hogan, two of my best friends, two promoters. Vince McMahon, of course, when I was in New York. And, of course, Jerry Jarrett here in the Nashville area.
Did you, what were you telling me? You speaking of the international popularity of wrestling, you and Hulk are going where?
Saudi Arabia. We'll be there on the 31st. We were there a couple of years ago. But it's Team Hulk Hogan versus Team Flair. So, of course, I'm on Team Hogan. And so we'll be going there on the 31st to Saudi Arabia. We sure will.
How did you develop your persona that people know you for as the mouth of the South and being the agitator and handsome Jimmy?
Well, handsome. I wish I could say I was handsome, but that was a lingo we put on Handsome Jimmy Valiant. But don't let him hear it say I don't want to get beat up by him thinking I am. But, you know, it just all kind of stumbled into it. Lauder gave me a break. I you know, went to school with Jerry the King Lauder, had a $1 million called Keep On Dancing. He went to wrestling. The next thing you know, I'm managing the King, helping him do a little wrestling album. And we became great friends and learned a lot from him, by the way. So we went on TV, and all of a sudden it just fell into place because I'd always been a wrestling fan anyhow. And I'd always love watching wrestling back when Sputnik Monroe and Billy Wicks were the popular ones down there. And so it was just a great thing. And one day we were doing radio. It was me and Andy Coffin were doing radio together on a local radio station there. And every time they'd ask us a question, I always jump in and start talking before Andy did. And the DJ there, he said, "You're going to learn, Andy. This is the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart." And I thought, ooh, that's a good thing to keep on my thing, Mouth of the South, Jimmy
so
Hart.
So that's where the moniker came from.
That's where it really came from. And wow. Me living in Memphis, too, and being from the South my whole life, you know, raised in Mississippi. My parents from Alabama. So it's been great. And I've always loved country music, too. So it's all good.
This is so odd. You just threw in a name there because you talk fast. But he threw in a name, Sputnik Monroe. And I promise you, this morning, I heard the song Sputnik Monroe. I had never heard it before from Otis Gibbs. And Sputnik Monroe, didn't he break the racial barrier?
Yes, he did.
And Diamond he tells his story in this song, Otis Gibbs does, of Sputnik Monroe.
Well, you know what? The back on the story, and Sputnik was great, by the way, but, you know, he was the ultimate bad guy back in the day, fighting Billy Wicks, you know, the good guy every night. And I was selling Cokes back then out of high school at the Ellis Auditorium. So I'd run down there every Monday night at the Ellis Auditorium and go, "Mr. Coffey, let me in." So he'd let me in because he knew I hustled because I sold as many Cokes as I could so I could watch the main event.
So right? How old are you at this time?
I was in high school. I think I was 16, okay. You know, 15 or 16. But I'd run down there, and I'd able to sell all my Coca-Colas so I could watch professional wrestling. And so I love watching Sputnik and Billy Wicks. But back in the day, everybody got paid a percentage, okay? And so Sputnik went to everybody and said, "Look, everybody's money's the same. Everybody's money is green. Why don't we let everybody in to have ringside seats, let them in to have bleacher seats, whatever they wanted to do, because after all the wrestlers got a cut of the money. Why keep, you know, the African-Americans out of that? Because if you did, they were going to lose money too." So he really fought for that and won it over. The promoter went, "Hey, you're right." So that's how it really happened. So he was responsible for that. He sure was.
What was the origin of his name, Sputnik?
I think back in the day, all that Sputnik thing was happening, you know,
outer
around
space,
the country.
Yeah,
space so he
travel,
put that
yeah.
up. And he had Norvell Austin with him. Both of them had bleached their hair white down the middle of it. And so it was Norvell Austin and Sputnik Monroe. But I never will forget that. But he was my favorite back then. So I guess I really always liked the bad guys back then.
You know, nowadays, and actually for probably since the late 80s when it really took off with the WWF, now WWE, you know, nationwide wrestling is something that most people have grown up with now. But when I was a kid, everything was regionalized. And you talked about a Memphis territory, and there was Gordon Solie broadcasting in Florida, and I grew up in New England. But you referenced Andy Kaufman, and that feud with Jerry Lawler and the appearance on the Letterman show, that may have truly been the first angle that got a ton of publicity, don't you think?
You're absolutely yeah. right. You know, when Andy came to be with us down there, he was still hot on Taxi, you know, yeah. so we were lucky to get him. And that was a slap heard around the world when Lauder slapped him yeah. on David Letterman, of course. Great publicity for us, and we were on fire in Memphis. We were doing great anyhow, but having him with us was awesome. So I got to manage Andy while I was down there. And he'd come by my house sometimes. I think I still have a pair in my storage of his old sunglasses he wore and everything. But Andy was great. You know, when he passed away, they found all of his Memphis checks intact in his one of his little storage rooms. They
so
found,
he had never cashed
any of his checks whatsoever.
Wow.
And So it was kind of funny back then that he kept all that stuff, but he was great.
What was the out-of-the-ring relationship in reality between Jerry and Andy?
They've kind of off and on, but I was with him more than anything. After every show we did at Monday Night Coliseum, I'd have to drive him by Elvis's house, and we'd sit out front for 30 minutes, and he'd just look at Elvis's house, and his favorite wrestler was Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. But that was a great era back then. Who would know that it would have a movie out on him and everything?
And we were talking about the regional nature of things and watching in Kentucky as a kid during those years in my life when my family had moved there. And I want to say they would have been at the Hippodrome or the Armory here in Nashville.
Yeah, Hippodrome and then out to the fairgrounds.
And then, Charlie, where were they wrestling up in Rhode Island, up where you grew up?
Yeah, the big shows were at the Providence Civic Center. If Bruno Sammartino or Andre the Giant was in town, it went to the Providence Civic Center. And if it was the weekly show, it went to the Jack Witchie Sports Arena in Massachusetts.
And you recognize those names that Charlie was talking about earlier.
Oh, my God. When I first went to New York, I go to Madison Square Garden. Last time I was in New York was with the Gentrys playing the Brooklyn Fox with Murray the K, right?
Yeah.
But on those shows, it was like seven or big acts back then. It was Mitch Ryder, Detroit Swills, the Gentrys, of course. We had the Shangri-Las. We had the Young Rascals, Joe Tex. I mean, this was three shows a day back then. I was in New York then. But here I'm, Madison Square Garden. Over to my left, there's Muhammad Ali. Liberace to the right. We have Billy Martin that was there. We had so many of the superstars that were mixed in with it. And of course, I had two matches on there, Greg the Hammer Valentine against Junkyard Dog, and then I had King Kong Bundy against SD Jones. So I was thrilled as heck.
Mm-hmm. How much forethought, as far as a game plan, a loose script, do you have going into a particular match? Or is it determined by who is in the match?
Well, back in the Memphis days, we had so many great people there. You know, Jerry the King Lawler, he could work with a broomstick and make it look great, which is really a shoot. That's really. And I had Handsome Jimmy Valiant and Joel LeDuc and all these guys, but all of them were so veterans, you know, there was nothing. You know, we just got in the ring and, buddy, the magic really happened there. Excuse me. And so it was just an awesome time back then. Now you have writers and everything else that do it, but it was all ad lib for us.
If you just joined us on 650 AM WSM, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart is here. And Little Harpeth Brewing, pick up the story at 7 o'clock tonight on what's going on, how people can be a part of it.
Well, once again, Rocky McElhaney Law Firm, along with USA Championship Wrestling, Burt Prentice, big show tonight. Wrestling's back in Nashville, of course. It's going to be at the Little Harpeth Brewing Company. Come early. Doors open, I think, 4 or 5. Free parking, of course. They got something for everybody there. And starts at 7 p.m., 5 or 6 big matches. The Star Twins. We've got the Lucky P's going to be there. Rocky's going to be there. So it's Jerry the King Lawler, of course, the big main event. And the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. It's going to be great.
Take me back. You referenced that first WrestleMania. And, of course, I think the third is the one at the Silverdome where they set the record crowd. And it's an institution now. I mean, everybody looks forward to it. Everybody buys the pay-per-view every year. How much of a risk was it at the time? If it bombs, it's a huge gamble, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I think everybody tried to talk Vince out of it. They said, uh-huh, this will never work because, see, back then, the pay-per-views were in movie theaters.
Yeah.
Who in the heck's going to go to a wrestling match at a movie theater and see it on a screen? But boy, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So Vince put everything up, and now, 35, 36 years later, is still going strong. Of course, I was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 2005 with Hulk Hogan, myself, Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, Paul Horndorff, and Randy Horton, daddy was in there, Cowboy Bob Horton. So what a great thrill for me to be in the Hall of Fame this many years in wrestling and still doing it each year. Last year I inducted Honky Tonk Man in the Hall of Fame, the year before Hillbilly Jim. And we still do all the promotion for WWE and all the legend stuff and everything, too.
The Iron Sheik is still entertaining to listen to.
Iron Sheik, he's in Atlanta, Georgia now. He sure is.
Your command, your memory of names and places and timelines is absolutely remarkable.
Well, you know what it really is? My mother asked me three things growing up. She said, Jimmy Ray? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, promise me three things. What, Mom? Don't ever drink, which I've kept her word on that, believe that or not. I've never smoked, believe that or not. And she said, and never ride a motorcycle. And I've kept her word on all of them. So I've never bought one or rode one. So I think that's what's helped me have longevity for this many years.
What was your sweet mama's name?
Her name was Sadie. Sadie Norton Hart. Matter of fact, she wrote a song for Eddie Arnold that was like number 2 in the nation called Enclosed One Broken Heart. And we have a copy of that, one of the old albums.
So you came to the music, honestly, too, obviously.
Listen, back in the day when Red Foley, remember Ozark Jubilee, came to Memphis, I had to sing 16 tons and what do you get? And so I did that. It was a great thrill for me doing that. You know, I was sitting at home the other night, and Bert Prentice called me and he said, "Jimmy, we're going to do a good show in Nashville up here. You know, they play a lot of country music, and I love country music, you know, and everything else." And he said, "You ain't got a country song, Hardy." And I sit down, I wrote some lyrics to a country song. Let me tell you, I'm going to do it real quick. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to talk it.
Okay.
My girl, she loves Walmart. Macy's ain't her thing. We like to eat at the Waffle House, smothered and covered on everything. And every Sunday morning, we watch Joel Osteen. She's just my blue light special. She means everything to me. That's just the first verse. I won't bore you with the rest of it. But that's
Joel Osteen.
But I'm going to go by the name of Jim Ray Hart. So we've had a great career. We've had the music. We've had the wrestling, the Hall of Fame stuff. And like I said, tonight I'm so excited to see the King once again. I saw him 2 weeks ago on Raw. Like I said, it's Rocky McElhaney Law Firm presents Championship Wrestling along with USA Championship Wrestling. It's going to be at the Little Harpeth Brewing Company tonight. I think the doors are probably going to open about 4 or 5. You can have lunch there, dinner there, whatever. Free parking, 6 or 7 big matches. It's going to be a great night. The King will be there, so it's going to be fun.
So if Charlie Maddox was taking on Jerry the King Lawler, and Charlie, you are Charlie's manager.
Right.
Sell it like you would ringside.
Okay.
In front of that audience.
All right. If Charlie, you know, King, this is me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. You know, we had some great feuds back in the day, baby. But I'm back to take over. I've got my main man, Wrestling Charlie. Charlie's got his partner's going to be with him, too. But let me tell you, we got a surprise for you tonight. Tonight at the Little Harpeth Brewing Company. It's so hard. Brewing Company. It's going to be unbelievable, baby. Bring your chains. Bring your chairs. Bring your powder. Bring your family, because you're going to need it when we get through with you, baby. I promise you that.
None of this was rehearsed. I want you all to know that. No. It has just been a delight to meet you. Everywhere you go, you must be recognized.
Well,
that difficult for you?
We had some fans taking pictures outside the window while ago, so I guess we ran them off with me singing that song while ago, so I better bring them back in here.
How many megaphones have you autographed in your life?
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? I used to carry a cane in Memphis, but when I went to New York, Mr. Fuji had the cane, so I didn't want to get him mad at me. So one day I'm sitting up there, and all of a sudden Vince brings this back from Japan. He goes, "This is going to be your new gimmick." So he's the one that gave me the megaphone to use. So
this is Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I have the megaphone tonight, of course, but we've gone through a lot. Back in the day, we had a case of guitars for the Honky Tonk Man, because we break them every night, and a case of megaphones for Jimmy Hart. But it's been great. You know, people always ask me, what does everybody look for in a professional wrestler? And I'll say something that Vince McMahon told me one time. Back in the day, right before we were in Poughkeepsie, New York, you're familiar with that, doing TV. And Vince came by, and back then the Hulk was our biggest name back then, you know, as far as drawing big money. And he said, "You know, I got to start looking for my next attraction, Jimmy." He said, "I'm looking for somebody that can walk through any airport in the world, and even a casual wrestling fan will go, oh my God, look who it is." Now, a casual fan. Then I can take them, put them on the Tonight Show, the Today Show, and they could hold their own with the host. Then I can put them on MTV Awards, and I can make them the face of Make-A-Wish. And then once I do all that with them, I can give them a push on my TV, and they can make me millions and millions of dollars out of merchandise. It's hard to find that person. The Rock had it, Hulk had it, Stone Cold had it, John Cena had it. But it's hard to find that person that even a casual wrestling fan can walk through and go, oh, my God, who is that? You know, it's just tough nowadays. But
it's interesting you mentioned Make-A-Wish, too. Beth Torres of Make-A-Wish in Middle Tennessee has joined us a couple times. And I just asked her, I said of the celebrities, who's done a lot of stuff for you? And she said, you know, it's interesting. Justin Bieber has done a ton.
Great.
And you wouldn't expect it. And John Cena has done so many Make-A-Wish appearances for kids around the country.
And Hulk at one time was the one who did the most before John Cena, too. Yeah. So, But we love Make-A-Wish. WWE is so great at the chairs. You know, Susan B. Coleman, they do the Make-A-Wish. They do that Connor's Cure, you know. And so that's the one thing about the WWE. They were always gave back to the communities, too. And the biggest company in the world.
Yeah. you.
The Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, now managing the Portuguese Man of War.
Thank you.
Charles Mattos Jr., ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Little Harpeth Brewing Company at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much for coming to see us.
We love you guys for having us on, my new tag team in the morning. Now I've got to call my man for Uber and get me out of here. I love you guys.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And as you leave, our gift to you from the pen of your mama and the vocals of Eddie Arnold.
Enclosed you'll find one broken heart in need of much repair. You'll find it wrapped in tears I've shed, because I
Thanks for listening to our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Our digital program director is Jay Patrick. Our digital producer is Haley Hall. Marketing and promotions director, Nicole A. Judd. General manager of 650 AM WSM is Chris Kulik. I'm Charlie Mattos. We'll see you next time on our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.